Nepal and Myanmar, and also some of them going into Thailand and other places serving the Lord. And also some of our graduates are in China helping in some of the ministries there. And so we thank God for all their, for the blessings that we see that the Lord has blessed the ministry with. And thank you for partnering with us. I think for many years, at least more than 30 or 40 years, you've been supporting the ministry. And you've been faithful in doing that and praying for us. It's a real joy. And also we want to thank you for the gift you sent us for the getting on the online program. We're very close in getting it done. All the computers have been brought and all the wiring and everything that needs to be done has been done. So we're just waiting for some permissions to come from the government to put it, to get the licensing and other things. So do pray for that. Every time we try to get it done quicker, they give us this excuse of COVID. So just pray for that. We'll get through it all and be able to get classes done online. So many of the students would like to come back to the campus, but we are not allowed to have classes till from the 1st of October. That's the new guidelines that they have given us. And so our semester begins in July, so we have already lost quite a bit of time getting all these things done. So do pray for that. We'll be able to extend the school year till usually we finish in March, but we tend to extend it till about April, May, and be able to be caught up with that. So do pray for us. We face a lot of challenges. As you face many challenges in your country, we do also face the opposition to the gospel, a lot of regulations we have to follow. But we thank God, in spite of all that, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. People are coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. And so we really thank God for the way God has blessed the ministry. We, as you looked in the video, we showed you that many are given to worshiping of false gods and goddesses. And our burden for our state, where our Bible colleges is about 3% of Christianity. That is inclusive of all other denominations. And our burden was to reach the state of Karnataka, where we are, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to establish, we have 30 districts, or like what you call counties, we have 30 districts. And we'd like to see a church planted in every of this district in Karnataka. So do pray for this new project. We began this year to train people in the vernacular language of the state, because we have not been able to get many students from the state. It is a very hard state to get the gospel out. A lot of persecution there. But in spite of that, we see God working. And so do pray for that, that we'll be able to train young men and women in the vernacular language. It's called Kannada language. So pray for that, that it will go off well this year as we begin it and be able to train. And in the next few years, we'd like to see churches where we will train the pastors and help them to establish a church in each district. And so do pray for that, that God will enable us to do that. So those are some of the things that you can pray for us, that God will continue to help us to reach out, to evangelize the land of India with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't bring much material here because with the COVID, we were not able to come on our regular visit time. We had to take special flights to come here. So most of it, we landed in Chicago, and usually I go to Atlanta. But this time, because of the special flights and all, so we've been, our prayer cards and all are in different places. So do pardon me for that. So we'll try to send some prayer cards out that you can have and pray for us. And I just thank you for praying for us on a regular basis as we get emails from people saying that they have prayed for us. It's just a joy as we know that people are praying. This is the confidence we have that people are bringing us before the throne of grace. And that gives us the strength spiritually. My friends, we fight spiritual battles. That will really bring a lot of discouragement and disappointment sometimes in our lives. But when people are praying, we know that we are being encouraged And we have been strengthened to know that people, we are not alone, that there are others standing with us and praying for us, and that we can continue to serve the Lord with great confidence. And so we thank you for your prayers and for your support for us, for the ministry at the Bible College. And so do continue to pray. I have another great burden that you can pray with me. I'm a medical doctor by training in family medicine, but I've been seeing a lot of people die with cancer in my country. And a lot of my family members also have been lost to cancer. So one of my goals before I die would like to see a cancer center built there to take care of Christian people that cannot afford cancer treatment, and that we can be able to assist them and help getting people who are mission-minded Christian doctors to come and help us in this field. So do pray for that in the next couple of years, that we'd like to do that. We have a few projects that we need to finish, which is our school projects that we have been doing, the buildings. We wanted to start two English medium schools. We had one which was in a vernacular language, which was Telugu, but we're not getting many students. And so the only way we can sustain the school is to change to English. So we are planning on doing that, but we had to get the facilities done, buildings built up. So we are praying for that. So do pray for that. We have had 5 rooms already done. We're starting the other 5 rooms. So we need about $150,000 to finish all that by the end of next academic year, which will be June. So do pray for that, that God will enable us. So once we finish that, we would like to do our cancer project thing to reach. This will be a great avenue, because we're seeing a lot of people dying with cancer. I get a lot of people to read their reports when I'm in India to give counsel and help them how to make decisions. And so this will be an avenue to help both Hindus and Muslims and Christians, that we'll be able to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do an outreach ministry. There are many few Christian hospitals, but they have lost their vision sometimes and fail to meet the needs, the spiritual needs. They do help financially in many ways, but the spiritual aspect, I think, has been forgotten for what it was started with. And so we'd like to reach not only the physical needs of these people, but also the spiritual aspect of it. So do pray for that, that God will enable us to accomplish this task. If you have any other questions after the service, we'll be happy to answer about our ministry. So do continue to pray for them. Last year, we graduated 120 students in March 13th, just before we had our lockdown in India. From March, we were locked down. It's not like here. When we are locked down, we are locked down. We have police in every street, monitoring, making sure you don't come out. So it was very strict lockdowns we had, but now there is opened up, and so we are able to worship and pray for our schools, and the colleges will be able to start October 1st. That can change, because they have been changing from, first they said August, then they said maybe September, now they went to October, so we don't know if it's going to happen, but do pray that we will be. But anyway, we will be ready to be online by this week or next early this week or in a week's time. So do pray for that we'll be able to teach the students online. And thank you for partnering with us. And the Lord has brought all the money in so that we're able to provide the computers for our faculty, because many of them were not able to afford to get. So we're able to update all of that. And you made it possible. And so we really thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your love and your giving for this ministry. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Psalm 27. And I know as we go through these difficult times, we as believers do not have to fear much. I know there is that fear we have a little bit, but you and I have great hope. Great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is with us in all our trials, in all our difficulties, And in all our challenges as we go, we can know that we have a great confidence in God. We can have great confidence in the promises of God and what He has given to us, and that we can recognize that He never fails us nor forsakes us. You know, this has been a challenging time, and many people have been taken with fear and anxiety. And as we read Psalm 27, I'll read verses 1 through 6. And it's a great psalm, and it just encourages my own heart. As the psalmist David pens these letters, this psalm, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foe, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, a word of great encouragement when there is so much fear, darkness, anxiety, worries, discouragement. But, O God, we, as the psalmist has penned for us, that You are our light, You are our salvation, You are our strength, and there is nothing to fear but that we can hope and be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ, that You would hide us under the shadow of Thy wings, that we are protected, and that we have great promises from Thy word that says that He will never forsake us nor leave us. And so we ask Thy blessings upon the preaching of Thy word. May we be encouraged from Thy word, and may we be rooted and grounded in Thy truth. And, Lord, may we have great hope and confidence in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And we know, as we look at this psalm, we know David had great hope. He had great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that Saul was after his life, and he was seeking to kill him, and he was chasing him all around. But David knew where his strength. David knew where who would guard him and guide him. And he had great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word hope, a definition, a biblical definition, would be deep, settled confidence that God will keep His promises. Amen. God will keep His promises. So often, even in our Christian life, we fear and we begin to doubt God, and we begin to get discouraged and disappointed, and we think what God is doing. But my friends, we can be confident. We can hope that we know that God is in control, that nothing is happening by accident or by chance, but this is all in the plan of God for a believer. And that we can trust in Him, knowing that even in our darkest moments, knowing that even as we go through the valley of the shadow of death, that He is there, His presence is there with us, that His light will guide us through all of the darkness. We can be confident in that. We can be confident knowing that the earth is only a temporal place. And this is only temporal. It is not permanent. We can be confident of that. Because we know as we read through the pages of Scripture, as we come to the book of Revelation, there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. What a blessed hope we have. And so often we get so discouraged and disappointed. I was encouraged during this COVID time. My brother's father-in-law, a very strong Hindu man, he said he will never turn to Christianity. He promised his father that he will never join the Western religion. You see, and he was there with us during December. He said living with us there in India because of his health issues and all. And then right after this, during the COVID season, he got a stroke. We had left our friends who just came to preach, and spoke at our meetings, and then we left them. And as we were coming home, we got a call from his daughter, my sister-in-law, and she said, "There's something wrong with Dad. Can you all come soon?" As we came home, we saw him. He could not get up, but he was speaking. His left side was weak, and as I looked at him and I examined him, I said, "He's got a stroke. We got to get him to the hospital." And we got him that early morning hours. We got him into the hospital. You see? And then as we found out, he had a bleed. And they said, "We don't know how bad this bleed is." So we put him in the ICU, and we've been there. And we've been sharing the gospel, and we've been telling his granddaughters, have been talking to him about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Sunday came, and we were allowed to have our services. So I told my brother was speaking. I said, "I'll go see Grampy in the hospital." He was speaking at that time, and I began to talk to him. I said, "You look depressed. Why are you depressed?" He says, "I don't know what's going to happen to me. What about my grandchildren? What about this and that?" I tell him to him, I said, "Grandpa, you don't have to fear. You know you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can put your faith and trust in Him. It's not a Western religion," I'm told him. "If you really want to know, it's from the Middle East," I said. "Jesus Christ was not from the West. He's a Jew." You see. And we talked, and I said, "You've heard the gospel. You put your faith and trust in Him. You have this hope that you will see your grandchildren again. You'll see your daughter again. You will see us again one day, even if this will take your life." I said, "Would you like to trust and put your faith in Him?" And he looked at me, "Uncle Patel, Grandpa Patel," he said, "I want to do that." I think he's past 70 years of age, 70, I don't know exactly, 72, 74. Staunch Hindu man. He would come to our services, sit there, but never would make a profession of faith. He understood that the only way was Christ was his hope. My friends, Christ is our hope today. Even in these darkest times, and we'll look at the confidence my grandpa had. We were all locked down. Our gates were closed. Everything. We're not allowed anybody in and out. But his friends came to visit. He said, "Oh, what about the coronavirus?" He turns around to his friends and he says, "Corona stays at the gate. It doesn't come onto the campus." His confidence, God will protect. My friends, God will protect you and me today. His promises are true. He doesn't fail. Even in those, that's why the Lord, the psalmist knew that. He knew that his life was in danger, that Saul was out seeking his life and to destroy him and to kill him. And there he says, the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. He is my strength. He says, even when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes come upon me and eat my flesh, they will stumble. Look at his hope and confidence in God. That's the confidence and that's the hope we as believers today should have. I'm not being influenced. I know we have to be smart. I know we have to be wise. I know we have to take precautions. But we don't need to isolate ourselves. We can trust God. Because God's will be fulfilled in our lives. His work will be, you won't leave this world. I believe that I won't go till God's work is fulfilled in my life, in this life. David could have given up and said, he's going to kill me. But God said he's going to be king. Till he fulfilled that leadership, he did not die. Amen? Do we really believe that? So we don't have to sit by fear. We can trust God. We can take his wisdom. And we can just go about our lives in great confidence, in great hope, trusting his promises. You see, my confidence in God gives me this hope. And what is this confidence? Is God is my light. He delivers me from darkness. Yes, he has delivered us from darkness into his marvelous light. That is our God. Yes, and that his light gives me direction. His word. Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides us in our darkest hour. My friends, the most important thing you can do in your dark times when you feel discouraged, when you feel disappointment, don't run anywhere and don't look at the world and the psychology and the wisdom of the world. They just fail you. Turn to this book, which is truth, which is life, because it has all the answers to life. I believe it 100%. This book is relevant even today. It is not old-fashioned as people call. Man cannot solve any problems, can he? He cannot even control the virus, but I know who can. The Lord can. He created it. We trust. God has a purpose in all of these things. His word gives life. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said, my word is life. It's truth. And it will strengthen us. It gives us the courage. That's what he says. You are my light. You are my salvation. You delivered me from damnation. You have delivered me from hell and death. You have defeated the last enemy was death, and now we have victory in our lives. We don't live in fear. We live in confidence because Christ is my hope. He's my confidence. He's my deliverer. We have security in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like that verse in the book of Psalms. It says, keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. That's the protection we have. That he hides us under the shadow of his wings. The almighty hand of God protecting you and me. What great comfort we have. What great hope. we have, death is not the end for a believer. It's just the beginning. Amen? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Psalms, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. Our death to Christ is precious. Hallelujah. Yes, there is the separation. There is the sorrow. There is that time of grief. But there is a day of rejoicing for the believer. A day of great reunion. That is our hope when we will hear the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And he that are alive shall be caught up with him in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. What glorious thing that is, friends. There will be no more death. There will be no more sicknesses. There will be no more COVID. Hallelujah. You see? That is the believer's confidence. He is my light. He is my salvation. Then also he is my strength. He will give me strength in my darkest hours, in my difficult times, in my weakness. The Lord will strengthen me. He will help me. We can look at all the passages of scripture where how God delivered, how God strengthened. I think about Paul and Silas in the prison, beaten badly and put in stocks in the cold, dark prison. But they were rejoicing. They had the strength of the Lord, singing his praises. And how God delivered them, how God defeated the enemy there. You see, he gives us success. He's the strength of my life. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. I know sickness is all part of life. It's part of the curse. We get sick. We live with it. But the Lord will give us the strength. He will give us the grace to grow through it all. And we see that Paul reminds us of that. Three times he sought the Lord. And the Lord said, no. Remove this thorn, this pain, this suffering. He said, no, Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. We have the grace of God as we go through our trials, as we go through our weaknesses. We have his grace to strengthen us. We have his grace to guide us and to encourage us. We thank God for it. We should be confident. The next thing also we need must be committed to the Lord to have this hope. We need to have the confidence, and then we need to be committed. See, many times I think Christians are really not committed totally to God. Yeah, there will be sometimes doubt. Everybody has doubts. Even John the Baptist had a doubt. Right? He saw the Lamb of God. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And then he sends his disciples and says, ask if he is the Messiah. We all do. But they were committed. The Lord Jesus says, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. As we commit our lives to him, as we commit everything to God, he will be our guide. He will be our strength. You see? Are we committed to be near him? This is what the psalmist said. He was committed to be in the presence of God. That's what all his desire was. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, one thing, nothing else, He says, there's one thing I like to be. I want to be in the presence of God all of my life. No wonder David was called the man after God's own heart, wasn't he? He says, there's nothing else. And you can go again into the New Testament. In the book of Philippians, you'll see another example of Paul the apostle. In Philippians chapter 3, he says, one thing I do. This one thing I do, I'm committed to him. I keep my eyes, I keep my focus upon Christ. No matter what the other circumstances around me are doing, whatever the circumstances are around me, it is not going to distract me. This one thing, I want to be in the presence of God. This one thing I want to do, I want to press towards God, seeking Him and doing His will. And then you see all the fear and all the anxiety and everything will fall away. Because you know, like Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We can be confident. You see, are we committed to the Lord? Are we committed to love the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he preached again, when you talk about the seven churches in the book of Revelation, there was one thing he said about the church of Ephesus. He said one thing. I know your works, I know your labor, I know all these things, but one thing you lack. You have left your first love. You have left your first love. Does Christ be in your life, the first love? Does he have the preeminence? Does he have all of you, my friends? Does he have all of you? Have you laid your life on that altar at the cross, a living sacrifice? Have you given him all that you have? That's the commitment. Paul gave him all. He gave out, he was a very religious man. He knew the law. He was zealous of the law. He was the Pharisee of Pharisee. But he said, this one thing I do, I will forget everything else. I'm committed to my Savior. And I hope when we are committed like these men in the scriptures we see, nothing will shake our foundation. There will not be fear, but we will only see light of our Savior in every dark circumstances of our lives. We can say, like the psalmist say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because thou art with me. My friends, whatever the storms of life may bring, if Christ is in our boat, it will not sink. Amen? It will not sink. We know that about the disciples on the lake. The storm came, the Lord was resting. He was at peace in the storm. The disciples, with fear and anxiety and struggle, run down and says, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He just came up, "O ye of little faith." He looked at the winds and the waves and he said, "Peace, be still." And they looked at him and said, "What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey his voice." My friend, he is the creator of them all. They all are under his authority. So if Christ is in our homes, it will not sink.
you'll be fine. You'll go through the storms. You'll go through the difficulties. Because His Word tells us that. His promises are true. He will get you through. If He doesn't, He'll give you the grace. If not, He will call you to His presence, which is much greater. No more suffering. You're in His presence for all eternity. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a blessed hope is that. And lastly, I'll close with this. When we have hope in the Lord, He provides us comfort. Amen. He provides comfort. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. What a foot. He will keep me safe. He will keep me. He will hide me in that rock and keep me safe. That's what He told Moses. Moses said, I want to see you. He said, you cannot see me. No man can see me and live. But I will keep you in a safe place behind the rock. And you shall see my back. That's all. But you'll be safe. Christ will keep you and me safe. Even through these darkest times we're going through, this challenging times. Maybe it is emotionally, physically, financially, whatever it is. We have the comfort that He's in control. We have the comfort He cares for you and for me. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We can lay all our burdens at the feet of Jesus, and He will take care of us. My friends, as I close, we can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Is He your light, your salvation, and your strength during this time? And I hope, just be committed to the Lord, and He will get you through your challenges. There's nothing to fear. Just trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What a great God we have that we trust. And we have that great hope, the hope of the resurrection. The hope of seeing Christ once again. That is our hope, and that's what we live for, to see Him again. God bless you.